Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's a Wednesday. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's a Wednesday. No, it's not. It's a Tuesday. I tell you, this Monday business, this extra weekend business and days, I have no idea these days. When you get old like me, it's just too much for the brain to cope with. It's a Tuesday. And I am here with my guest for another book and a chat. Now, you know, when you're a parent and stuff like that, well, not just a parent, I think one of the hardest things that we're taught to do is to forgive people, because you might say it, but at the back of your mind, there's something that's pressurizing you. And when it's your family or affecting your family, it's even harder. And in the case of my guest today, who was a pastor for many years, it must be even harder again for him, especially when one part of the family is affecting other parts of the family. What am I on about? Well, let's introduce my guest today and we'll find out. Because on the show today, I have the one and only Ken Diedros. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Hi, Barry. I'm doing great. Great to talk with you.
It's great to talk to you. You know, as a parent myself, it's very hard. I think if things start going wrong within a family, you know, in my case, like perhaps with divorces or something like that, to not blame yourself if something happens to the child. What did I do? Did I not do right, etc.? As I said, in your case, I mean, you were for many years a pastor at the church and that, and you had three sons. And obviously, you know, like myself, you know, when you have children, you want to sort of think, oh, I'm gonna be you know, watching them play sports. I'm going to sort of, you know, go to take them to church, go to college and stuff like that. In your case, that didn't quite happen as, you know, we all hope it will do. Does do.
It didn't. to my great dismay. No, yeah. I mean, it was headed that way for many years, really till their teens. It looked just normal. The family looked normal. The boys were doing great. And, you know, to the outside and the inside, it was just fine. But yeah, it did start to unravel. It was a combination of events. It certainly had to do with me being a pastor, mm-hmm. and the pressure my sons, especially my eldest, started to feel. And then my second son, they started to feel the pressure of my eyes, and not even so much my eyes, but the eyes of everyone in the congregation. So yes, it did. It did. It felt like a magnifying glass when you focus the sun on something and it just becomes really hot. That's exactly what it felt like. And yes, it started to unravel. And then for about 10 years, it was unbelievably painful. Mm. One or the other of them was struggling during that time. So yes, it was quite the shock.
Oh, I didn't realize it was all three of them were struggling. Okay. I mean, I understand what you mean. I remember from school, policemen's children. We had two children, boys in my class at school whose parents were police. And they were two of the most in trouble children, if you like, you know, because it's almost like they revolt against what they've been brought up with. And it must have been, as you say, being put under a magnifying glass with yourself and the church and the congregation and everything like that. Do you think this was them rebelling, or was it the environment, or was it, you know, just a mixture of everything?
It was kind of a mixture of everything. We our church came into some real troubling times as well. It was a bit of an authoritarian church, so it just had a strong arm that they exercised a little too liberally. I was pushing against that. We ended up having some troubles. My boys were kind of caught in the middle of that. And so, yes, it was a real combination, an almost uncanny a series of events that led us to some challenges. And during those 10 years, not all three of them struggled at the same time, but off and on, each of them just had a period that was very challenging. So yeah, it was the combination of events. And certainly, you know, when you're leading a church, there is a profile and there is a focus on the family, and that you feel a little bit in a fishbowl. When things are good, that's fine. That's just fine. But as you know, if things are not good, it can start to become very challenging. And then my oldest two were very close to each other. So they didn't gang up on us, but they kind of did. And right. So, yeah, that was a little bit of the challenge.
Right. Your book, which we're here to discuss, which written is called A Letter to My Son in Prison, How a Father and Son Found Forgiveness for an Unforgivable Crime. Now, we've been talking about what led up to a lot of this and that. And, you know, let's get this right. You were not, it's not like they were sort of raised up in the sort of, you know, the bad parts of LA. It was actually in a pretty
no.
good suburb they were raised in.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they were raised poorly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we didn't make some mistakes.
No, of course.
You know, I outline that in the book.
Yeah.
You know, things I would do differently. But yeah, I mean, it was not a challenging upbringing. We loved them. They loved us. And for, like I said, for many years, it was fantastic. But then we did have some very challenging times.
And one of the things that, you know, whether it's cry for help or whether it's looking for, you know, a way out or even to sort of get away from reality of it all was the they started struggling with addiction, especially your middle son.
Yes, yeah, and then, so through high school it was much milder stuff, but yes, as he left the house and was on his own, he actually finished college, believe it or not. It was a small community college in the area. And I'm not sure how in the world he ever finished,
right?
Because I don't think he applied himself much. But as he was going through those years, yes, he graduated to opioids of various kinds and just got very cavalier in his use of it. And as you know, if you get cavalier, you get haphazard, it's going to bite you. And it started to grab a hold of his butt, and it just really took hold of his life. And he struggled. And yes, that's what led up to prison, was his challenges with opioids in particular.
Now, did that affect the other? I mean, obviously, you know, it affects the family, affects yourself and your wife. And did it affect the other children as well?
I mean, it did and it didn't. It did in the sense that it really hurt. It weighed on the family. My oldest son at the time had really turned his life around. So it was stressful there. It didn't encourage, but it kind of paved the way for my youngest son to also experiment with opioids, which he did for quite some time, for at least several years. Mm-hmm. So yes, it did have an impact. And you know, by that point, I just felt like it was out of my hands. I felt like I had lost control
right.
of the family. And,
right.
and there was a long period, several years, where I don't know. I just, everything I had hoped for and dreamed about and prayed for, it felt like the exact opposite was occurring for many years. And that was, of course, as you can imagine, extremely discouraging.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you start blaming yourself and thinking you've done something wrong. And also, it must have put a big stress on your faith.
It really did. There was certainly some self-blame. And then there was the, you know, God, how in the world could this happen? Like, why would you, I made these sacrifices. I did this, I did that. And this seems almost uncanny in its turnaround, in its oppositeness, if you will.
Yeah.
It did. It felt like to me, because I had at least attempted to do so many things correctly, that to have it turn out like this was a real shock. And so what I did, you know, some people may shake their fist at God or curse him,
right.
or I just drew inward. I just, instead of shaking, I just kind of pulled it into my chest and just, I stopped going to church, couldn't read the Bible. I mean, I would open it up and it'd feel like a flood of horrible memories would come back. You know, I couldn't pray. I mean, I just couldn't do anything. I just was really flatlined spiritually, and in some ways emotionally flatlined. Right. Didn't really talk to many friends. Not that they deserted me. They didn't. I deserted
right.
them, to be
right.
honest with you.
You drew yourself into yourself sort of thing. Yeah,
I did. And it's my, you know, I'll be honest, it's my natural inclination. If, you know, some people have trauma, my wife has trauma and she wants to talk to every friend of hers. Mm-hmm. I want the opposite.
Right.
And so I did the opposite. And so, yes, it was spiritually, it was the most challenging thing of my entire life.
Yeah, of course, it actually got worse when Lucas, who is this middle son of yours, actually ended up in prison.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the capstone.
Yeah.
That was the nail in the coffin. That I did just felt like, okay, this is the ultimate humiliation. And I don't mean humiliation from the community, although there was that. But screw that. I didn't care about that. I was like, forget that. I don't care what anybody thinks about me or my family. You think what you want, right? Nobody knows what happens behind closed doors. But it was more the humiliation with God. That's not even the perfect word, but it just kind of felt like that. So yes, when that happened, I was, it was the darkest time ever.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so interestingly, it was the letters. It was, you know, after a while, he was in jail. So in our system, as you know, you have jail first. He was at L.A. County for about 6 months. And then there's prison. Then you serve your sentence. And while you're in jail, you're going to court. You're doing a preliminary hearing.
Yes, unless you're an ex-president, yeah.
Well, there you let's not go there.
Sorry, I had to get that.
You did. I almost set you up for that one perfectly. So, you know, after a while, I wrote him a letter. And, you know, it wasn't a great letter. The first one, in fact, was a terrible letter. But, you know, eventually I chilled out and I started to open up my life to him. He started to write back and open up his life. And all of a sudden, you know, a father and son who haven't been connecting for years, for over a decade, all of a sudden through letters, it seemed to just knock down barriers and seemed to make it easier to say things that I wanted to say and that he wanted to say. So yeah, we started writing and this magical thing started happening between us that became bigger and bigger the longer he was in prison, the more meaningful. He started to read like a voraciously dense books, you know, Hemingway, Vonnegut, Dostoevsky, yeah. I mean, on down. Yeah,
right.
Just an amazing list of really life-changing books. And I saw him right before my eyes just really change as a man, started using different words. Mm-hmm. We started having deeper conversations. We even started talking about God and, you know, his struggle with evolution, for example. And, you know, pretty cool stuff to be talking about with an incarcerated son that both led us together back together. So it really remediated the relationship. But it interestingly, helping him kind of helped me also to open up to God again. So that was pretty cool.
The fact that you were behind a sheet of paper, putting it in one way or that sort of thing, did you think that made it more easy to communicate, not sitting there looking at the person and seeing if they're uncomfortable or what have you? The fact that you could use that opened the door for honesty, for want of a better word.
It did. I mean, and transparency and saying things that you would never say. For example, I told him about meeting his mom, my wife, and all the story around that. Right. He's sitting there in prison. He's got nothing but time on his hands. So I can write a 5-7 page letter and he's actually going to read it.
Right.
There's a thought, right? In fact, not only will he read it, but he'll actually find it entertaining because he doesn't really have anything else to do. So it was this combination or that combination of the page and the almost the insulation that it gave and the gateway to say things and talk about things. And I remember one time I got an offer for a promotion in my company that I didn't really want. And I just wrote him this like 5-page letter about my career and about my ambitions professionally and all these. I was like, I would never, like, he knows things about me that my other two sons have never even heard about,
right?
All because of the blank page.
Yeah,
yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Now the obviously you started being able to communicate more and more. How did you get on with the forgiveness part? I know we say we forgive, you know, we forgive them, but the back of your mind, something happens I think it's hard to actually completely forgive somebody. And yet within these letters, you're able to, you know, not only nurture your faith, but the forgiveness and obviously the help with the recovery of not just your relationship, but also your son as well.
Yeah, the forgiveness had many layers. There was me and Lucas, my son, and that in all those years of lies and stealing credit cards.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just that terrible stuff that sometimes comes with addiction, especially when heroin and other things start to get involved.
Right.
So certainly there was that. And I'll be honest, Barry, that was not the hardest part for me. Mm-hmm. It was hard, but it wasn't, once you see your son just dramatically changing his life, literally being a different person, it's amazing how all the shackles of resentment and fear can find their way out of the equation. Now, obviously, when you have addiction, there's always going to be the lifelong concern, right?
Right.
You just don't want it to return. Relapse is not uncommon. So that's a separate thing, though. I don't see that as forgiveness. It's a separate thing. And that, even to this day, he's doing fantastic. He's got a family now, a home. He's doing great. Mm-hmm. But still, it's there, and it will be there forever.
There's it back of your mind. No matter what it is, with the child, or what have you,
Yeah. In a weird way, though, one of the elements of forgiveness I found difficult was the victim.
Okay.
Was feeling forgiveness from the widow that was made and the man who died, and trying to rationalize or somehow, look at the universe, look at God, look at the way things are, and just say, okay, how is that fair? My son is turning his life around. He marries this woman. He's got this beautiful new son. Like, you look at that and you go, wait. This guy lost his life. Mm. How is that? And I know fair is not the right word, but how, it just seems so random, so erroneous, so unright. And yet, understanding that or coming to at least some terms with that was very hard for me. It took many hours of journaling, much thought, even chasing down the rabbit hole of reincarnation. I went down that hole for a while.
Yep.
No disrespect for anybody, but, it just wasn't my jam. Mm-hmm. But, that was one of the hardest aspects of forgiveness. Now, I really did, I feel, and have, I feel, come to terms with it and an understanding of it that's beyond the scope of our talk here.
Right. Yeah.
But nonetheless, that was one. And then the other element of forgiveness was God. Mm-hmm. Not so much Lucas and God, but more me and God.
I was going to say, it brought your faith back here.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggie. That was the hardest thing, is to figure out, okay, if I'm not going to shake my fist, okay, fair enough, but what am I going to do? Do I just go back to normal? Do I go back to a church? Do I sit there and pretend I'm interested in what the preacher is saying? No, I just can't and won't and haven't, to be honest with you, only because it's, at least for now, it's just not, felt right, but other aspects of it have felt right. And so I think kind of coming to terms / forgiveness with God was maybe the most interesting and most ongoing thing I'm enjoying.
Right. I mean, obviously, the faith is your personal faith, and that's what you've managed to gain, to get back is, as you say, your communication with God and your belief, instead of why me and, you should have stopped this happening sort of thing. You've been able to recover that part of it through all the trials, and obviously a lot of trials, second chances, rehabilitation, all that sort of stuff. You've been able to get through that after rekindling the love between a father and son, and both of you understanding each other a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what kindled it. You're right, and that led, and has led to a great relationship with him now, and an honest relationship even today, even these days. He can be honest with me, and I am honest with him. I felt like he was, kind of slipping in his humility that he had after he got out of prison just a few weeks ago. You know, we had this wonderful phone call about it, and I was very direct with him, and he was very grateful. He's like, Dad, you can say anything to me ever for the rest of my life. I have earned the right for you to be able to dress me down if you want to, if you or ask me anything,
and
which was great.
What you just said is a very important part, that
it is.
Your communication isn't sugarcoated. It's not, oh my goodness, you know, I've got to tread on eggs because I don't want him to do this, that, and the other. You are open and honest with each other. You both know these things. You've both been able to communicate things. And because of that, the trust and the faith and the what's between you two has now become something special.
It has. It's something I think very few fathers have with their sons. Mm. And that's the irony of it.
Yeah.
Even with God, it's a relationship now, I feel, a faith that is just unique. It's and this is cliche, but I'll just say it anyway. You know, it truly feels like it was in the fire.
Right.
It was refined in the fire. And when you have been to the fire, I don't know, it just everything's stripped away and it just becomes cleaner and purer and more authentic, both my relationship with Lucas and my relationship with God. And so yeah, it has, you know, it's been what? I think 7-8 years since the accident.
Okay.
8 years. So, you know, it's starting to feel like a distant memory. The refinement that came through that fire, I don't think will ever leave. I think it will always be there in his life and in my life.
One of the things, and I think from what you say, it is this, you know, this, you've sort of realized this and got through this and stuff like that, but when you have such a thing with one of three sons and that becomes something special, you know, it can breed resentment with the other sons, you know, like the like Joseph, you know, why did you
yes.
He spent all the money, he came back and you gave him the fatted calf and the coat and everything like that. You know, how are your other sons with it? Are they...
They're fine.
Understanding.
They're fine.
Fine. Good.
They are. It's amazing. I mean, it could be hard. You're right. But, you know, because we all went through it and they are so happy that he's normal again and they're doing great. They each married wonderful women, have wonderful families. So it's as good now as it was bad back then.
Your book.
But I almost feel like I can say that now.
Yeah.
No, like I can say that now without sounding... without sounding weird.
Yeah, no, that's great, and it's, you know, it's lovely, you know, wonderful to know that because, you know, sometimes you see this other thing where it tilts too much in the other way, if you like. Your book, Letters to My Son in Prison: How a Father and Son Found Forgiveness for an Unforgivable Crime, came out in September last year. How's it doing? Sort of response?
It's done really well. We've won a couple of awards.
Oh,
so we won Nonfiction Book of the Year with American Writing Awards and just won another Most Inspirational. So it's doing well, and it's generated a lot of conversations about people dealing with their own demons. So a lot of people have been through, not this exactly, but they've been through something like this. So reading this really helps them.
Right. Well, as you said earlier on, yeah, second chances and rehabilitation. The rehabilitation can be in lots of different forms. And the book sort of, I'm sure, helps a lot along that pathway.
Yes, it does. And interestingly, you know, there are a lot of people that feel towards religion and God like I do, mm-hmm. where religion was not... You know, religion is harder, putting up with, you know, all the trappings of religion, whereas God, you know, is purer or easier. And I'm still in that journey myself, just trying to figure out, you know, where religion fits in,
right.
Because it's a bit of a challenge for me.
Indeed.
And a lot of people share
that challenge. That's your pathway now to get.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yep.
Time is beating us, so what I'm going to do now, Ken, is actually hand the show over to you so that you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your book and everything like that. So over to you.
Excellent. Well, it's been great being with you, by the way, and talking with you. And Ken Guidreau is my name. .com is the way to find everything. And I really only do two things. One is the book, Letters to My Son in Prison. And then the second is a weekly essay on Substack. There I just talk about life, about my life, marriage, parenting, God. I mean, just kind of everything that you and I have just talked about, I talk about in a weekly essay as well.
That's great. Well, it's been really good chatting to you. Very eye-opening, very informational for a lot of people out there. And as you say, there's a lot of people, perhaps not exactly the same, but can understand and follow the sort of what you've gone through. And perhaps your book hopefully will help a lot of people along the way. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Absolutely, and thank you.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. How about that? This was Ken Guidreau, and I spell that because I can't spell it. Say it. Anyway, it's Guidro, and as you would say it, Z, or as I would say it, Z. So Guidroz, and the book, as we've been talking about, is called Letters to My Son in Prison: How a Father and Son Found Forgiveness for an Unforgivable Crime. Look for it, read it, pass it on to people that you think might learn from it and gain from it. Sounds really good. Well, that's it for today. I will be back with you, hopefully with a fresh guest tomorrow. I still haven't got a phone number to call them on, but hopefully by tomorrow I'll have one. If not, we'll put an old show up like we do when some things fall through. But that's it for now. Of course, we've just got one thing left to say. Don't forget.